Natural History of Nonsense by Bergen Evans, freely adapted for radio by Joseph Ruskell and directed by Albert Ward, with music composed and conducted by Ben Ludlow.
Hair can turn white overnight from extreme fright.
Bunk.
Well, bulls are enraged by the color red.
Colorful, but fanciful.
Well, that may be so, but different races differ in intelligence and size of their brains.
Not according to scientific data.
Everybody knows a woman driver is less skilled than a man.
Masculine vanity. No proof.
Yes, but people are weakened by soft living.
Hokum. Soft living and a high level of culture usually go hand in hand. This is a collector's item, a radio program on the paleontology of delusion, an antibody for all who are allergic to stardust. 1/2 hour of chiropody for feet of clay. Exposing some of the more preposterous errors and legends that mankind insists on believing.
We like it this way.
A laughing gas to smoke out the irrational.
We enjoy being irrational.
An attack on error and silly notions.
Say, what program is this?
This is the Columbia Workshop.
Oh, then it's just an experiment. All our cherished illusions are really quite safe.
Sound effects, you ready?
All set.
Well, let's run through. Let's see, we need a judge's gavel. A gorilla. Lightning. A man drowning.
I'll give you water. You'll have to use an actor for the man drowning.
Help! Help! I'm drowning!
And most realistic. Most realistic. All right. What is it that always happens to a drowning man?
His life passes in review.
It does it? Well, let's see.
Help! Help! I'm drowning! Help! My life, it's passing in review before me. Mother!
I'll teach you to steal money out of my purse.
Sweetheart.
I won't be your girl. I won't. You called me Carrot. With this ring, I thee wed.
Stop
struggling, baby. Drink your bottle. Daddy's just going in for a little swim. Go ahead, John, but mind you don't go getting a cramp or something. The water's awfully...
All life passing in review.
Cold.
So cold.
Stop struggling.
It's all over.
No use.
You're a dead pigeon. Goodbye.
living man always sees his entire life pass before him. Nonsense. How do you know? How does anyone know? Was you there, Charlie?
Here, Mary. Get under this tree. Okay?
Yeah. Oh, the lightning's awful.
Oh, sure is.
Don't think it's safe here, Henry.
Sure, safest place in the world. This tree was just struck, and lightning never strikes twice in the same...
Shall we go to heaven on this cloud, Mary?
Yeah, Henry.
What are you thinking?
Oh, the foolish notions back on Earth. Oh, Henry, if only we'd read Bergen Evans on lightning.
Of course, Mary. You should have known that lightning is more likely to strike twice in the same place than not.
Order! Order in the court!
Now will the defendant repeat that, please? Why did you kill the woman?
Because I wanted a lock of her hair, Your Honor.
A lock of her hair?
Sure.
And why did you want a lock of her hair?
Because she was a witch.
You believe in witchcraft? In this day and age? Here in your Pennsylvania?
Why, of course. Everyone knows there are witches around these parts.
And what, pray, did you want with the witch's lock of hair?
To do hexing with, Your Honor.
Hexing?
Hexing, surely. What did you suppose?
This incredible bit of nonsense was reported by the New York Times. Probably the majority of mankind still believes in witchcraft. Nonsense? No. But we are nearer the past than we know. And spooks and demons play leapfrog with the marvels of plastics and television as the human mind struggles to understand life. What's the answer, education? But we're already the most literate nation in the world. Why, our newspaper circulation alone is greater than, Hey, you there.
Me?
Would you kindly step over to the mic, please? And you? And you? Thank you. Now, this first man here, what do you read in the newspapers?
Oh, the headlines, the sports, and the funnies.
Thank you. And you?
Sports and the funnies.
And you?
The funnies. Yeah, the funnies. Hey, whatever happened to Buster Brown and Little Nemo?
Presenting The Soft Life, a morality play with a leer. Prologue?
This is a play with a moral. A moral explaining the deterioration of the human race.
Namely?
We have been weakened by soft living.
We? Really meaning, of course?
The pedestrian.
A play sponsored by?
The carriage trade. And further explained, ladies and gentlemen, by your program notes, to wit...
The pampering and coddling of pedestrians are destroying their moral fiber.
They will not thank us for it. More leisure and abundance can only bring them unhappiness.
And neurosis.
And psychosis.
The soft life is rotting their biological fortitude.
And now, end of prologue, beginning of scene. A pedestrian's home. His family are gathered at the dinner table. Is gathered. Their faces are tense, tragic. The man speaks first.
Julia. Julia, I got a raise today.
I know. I heard.
No, don't. Don't, Julia. Be brave.
Why did this have to happen to us? To us?
I don't know.
Why are you both looking at me like that? Mother, Dad, why aren't you eating?
Oh, my poor child. What will become of her? What, John?
I don't know. I just don't know. Deteriorate like the rest of us. Ride in calves.
But what's wrong? What happened? Tell me.
Emily, your father got a raise today.
Is that bad?
Emily, don't be immoral.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You'd better be. There'll be no wolf at the door now, my fine lady. Who'd want you? Looking fat and dumpy.
The soft life staring us right in the face. I'll be expected to ride. Maybe even get an automobile.
And I thought your boss liked you, John. Cared about your welfare.
So did I, until today. I can't understand it. So aggravating. What did I do for 12 years? And now this terrible thing, this raise in salary.
Oh, well, at least you'll be too busy, John, to have it affect you.
Julia, that's just what I...
What? What now, John?
There's something else, Julia. I don't know how to tell you this.
What else? Speak, for pity's sake.
The boss also cut down my hours.
What?
He says it'll give me more leisure. I'm on a 5-day week now.
No, oh no. Anything but that. How can you calmly sit there and tell me? Oh, John, you know what that means. Why, you're practically a bum.
I know.
And it means, my goodness, the time, I mean. What'll you do with it? Spend it here in your own home?
I'm afraid so.
I won't have it. Do you hear? I won't have it. Do you want little Julia to grow up with a father when she's never known one? And it's for us, you and me. Now, John, I hate to mention it, but...
I understand.
Well, you must admit it would be embarrassing, to say the least. Why, we hardly know each other.
Yeah. And we'd probably get on each other's nerves, too.
Well, I should say. Always looking at each other, looking at each other. We'll get to picking, to nagging. We'll end up hating the very sight of each other. You know what that can lead to? The way you read in the headlines all the times? She finally puts some poison in his coffee one fine day. She goes crazy and poisons him and finishes him off.
Unless he picks up an axe first and chops her down. You hear that, Julia? Unless he picks up an axe first and chops her down.
Mother, Dad, don't talk like that. What's gotten into you both?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You see, a life of soft living is already rotting our moral fiber.
Yes, you're right. Oh, John, don't let this happen to us. Don't let it destroy us all. Please, please.
By golly, I won't. I won't let it happen, dear. I'll give in my notice tomorrow.
Oh, darling, you will.
No kidding, Dad.
Of course I will. I'll get me a decent job at less money with longer hours. The boss can't play me for a sucker, lure me into a trap, destroy my standing as a pedestrian. No, I won't have my moral fiber ruined.
The scientific fact is that every rise in the standard of living is accompanied by a rise in general health. Children pampered with a sufficient diet grow taller than other children not enjoying the soft life. Now let's consider the painful subject of baldness. No hair. Let's go to the barber shop.
Losing your hair, eh?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Sign of weakness.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
What's good for it?
Clip it short.
Well?
Clip it short. Concentrate the nourishment.
Okay.
Close shave?
No. Just a once over.
Close shave. I know better.
Huh?
Getting bald. Don't let the face suck the nourishment from the scalp. Close shave.
What are you doing with that lighted match?
Hold still. I'll save your hair yet. I'm singeing.
Singeing?
That's right. Singeing. Burning the ends. Keeps in the vital fluid.
Wait. Barbara. What are you doing?
I'm oiling, drenching what's left. I'll save it yet, sir. This bottle is just the thing for your few hairs. But... hold still, please. You've been rotting your two hairs.
Rotting it?
By wetting it. You've been wetting it? To make it lie down, maybe? You're crazy. Ever wear your hat indoors? You ever wear your hat outdoors? Throw away your head altogether. I mean, your hat, throw it away. Why, look. You're now bald as a coot, sir.
Yeah.
But don't worry, sir. Don't worry. You should be actually glad.
Huh?
You didn't hear the latest?
The latest?
You're a dominant character. Baldness is now a sign of strength. Congratulations.
Thanks.
What nonsense! With all the myths and delusions stored in the human mind, Mr. Evans considers it a miracle we progress at all. How far, for example, have we come from the Elizabethans in our cherished notions about, say, women and their place? How far from this typical domestic scene of, say, 1657?
Husband? Husband, thou art deep in thought. Then hush me. I shall not disturb him as I rock. I am sweet Alice, and my dear spouse is wrapped in matters dark and deep. He being a man, that is to say, an intellectual. See him threading the labyrinth of the mind, reading the secret of the stars through yon chimney flue, while I, the little woman, unable to comprehend phrenology or astrology or whatever it is he is absorbed in, find my bliss in contemplating how wonderful he is. And with this withered violet, which once he gave me years ago, my gentle emotions, I must give vent to them through my dear harmonium. For him I play, for him I sing, of earthly faith and plighted vows. I know but matters of the house, while he knows a thousand things. My face is fixed and cannot move. I darkly feel him great and wise. I dwell on him with faithful eyes. I cannot understand. I love. My duty is plain.
Indeed it is. To admire, inspire, and retire. I'm sleepy. Come to bed, wife.
Now, wait a minute. We've certainly progressed from the Sweet Alice days.
Sure. We men don't consider her inferior anymore. Why haven't we men given her the go, the vote, for Pete's sake?
Uh-huh. But have you really given her equality? Or have you merely fallen back on science as your present line of defense?
Well, you can get around facts. And it is commonly known that women have smaller brains than men, right?
Wrong. Relative to their size, women's brains are actually larger.
Oh, yeah? Well, one thing, and it's certainly not my fault, they'll never have any mechanical aptitude.
Then how explain their success in wartime factories?
Oh, that's just a fluke.
Women can't stand the strain of life as well as men. That's apparent.
How?
How? Well, they become hysterical so easy.
Hysterical?
Rattled, you know. They go to pieces under strain. In times of stress, what do we see? Well, look at the statistics.
Oh, would you really care to look at them?
Yeah.
Very well, here they are. More than three times as many men as women commit suicide. Stomach ulcers and stuttering are five times as common among men as women. During the heavy bombing of London in 1940, many more men than women suffered from shock. A third more men than women die of diseases of the nervous system. There are more men than women in our insane asylums, and they go there earlier. Well, in short, friend, women bear up pretty well, eh? Under the type of stress that drives you nuts.
Why, it was cold as the North Pole.
That's not so cold. Montana's colder.
Rap deserted sinking ship.
Who wouldn't?
I suppose you'll tell me now that wolves don't run in packs.
They don't.
And that fingernails don't grow after you're dead.
That's right.
Geniuses do die young, don't they?
Quite the contrary. Ever heard of Michelangelo or Titian? Or George Bernard Shaw? More nonsense.
Most gangsters are foreigners.
Nonsense 1934 brand. You know, back then we said...
Why worry about Hitler? He's just putting his country in order. After a while, things will settle down.
What's wrong? What's wrong? What's happening here?
All right. It's all right, folks. All right. No. It's all right. I'm his keeper. It's Oscar from the zoo. You ordered us for an appearance here.
I did. Roll his cage over here, please. Quiet, everybody.
No. Nothing to worry about, folks. He's locked in tight. He can't possibly get out of his cage. He isn't used to this sort of thing, sir. First appearance on the Columbia Workshop, you know. Now, easy there, Oscar. Easy. Quiet now. Now, quiet. The people won't hurt you.
Listen to that. The people won't hurt you. Some nerve.
Welcome to the Columbia Workshop, Oscar. Don't be alarmed. We're really honored to have you here as our guest.
Take him away, the...
A brute, you call him. Now, don't be offended, Oscar. Madame,
Isn't it an interesting fact that you have labeled the animal nearest resembling man as the archetype of brutality?
Well, he's ferocious, isn't he? Look at him. Why, he's foaming at the mouth.
Madame, if you were put in his cage for a spell, don't you suppose you'd rage and foam too?
Why do we have to suffer the presence of this animal and his rude keeper?
To clear away some more nonsense. Now, wait and see. Ladies and gentlemen, Oscar here is indeed a huge beast. Infinitely stronger than any man. I'd say he weighs 500 pounds, has a chest girth of 55 inches, and an arm spread of, 8 feet at least. There's little doubt he could splinter a Garand rifle like a matchstick and kill Joe Louis with a side swipe of his fist.
Good gracious.
And yet, and I want you to take my word for it, he's a pacifist, a true peace lover.
Oh, go on. Who are you trying to kid?
You know this animal very well, Mr. Keeper. Am I right or am I wrong?
Right. A gorilla never fights unless somebody bothers him. Even then, he tries to run away and hide. If he can't hide, he tries to scare his attacker. Why, he's just like a Mr. Milktoast. Good family man, vegetarian, affectionate. Ain't that so, Oscar?
Well, look at that. It's just as if he were talking to you.
Why not? We talk together all the time, don't we, Oscar? You wouldn't think of going around bullying people, would you, Oscar? No. You wouldn't hurt anybody except those who go to a lot of trouble to get hurt by you. You're just a big, sweet baby. Naturally, you don't like being behind those bars all the time. Well, we'll let you out for a while and let all these people see how sweet you really are. Now we'll just open the doors of his cage.
Don't you dare open that cage door. Don't you dare.
Oh, no, he won't hurt you, lady. Not unless you hurt him. Now, stay where you are, everyone. Don't get excited. No. Come on out, Oscar. Come on, it's all right. No one will hurt you. Oh, now, Oscar, please don't act like a dunce in front of all these people. Oscar, if you don't come out of that cave... Huh? What's that you say? Oh, yes, surely. I promise you they won't hurt you. Well, he just absolutely refuses to come out of his cage.
Why? What's the matter with him?
He's afraid.
Afraid? That's absurd. What's he got to be afraid of?
Well, now, I'll tell you. Oscar says he won't take a chance on being in the same room with human beings.
Well, I like that. The impertinence. Who does he think he is?
Ought to be taught to hold a civil tongue, slandering his betters.
Oscar has some pretty strong ideas about human beings. He says for sheer mischief, you can't beat him. Who but a human being, he says, would invent gunpowder and TNT and buzz bombs and submarines and concentration camps?
Well, that may be very well, but what about culture and music? What about Brahms, Beethoven, and Irving Berlin?
Hear that, Oscar? What do you say to human culture? He says, what about the atomic bomb?
Oh, I heard that was no worse than a case of TNT.
Oh, what's he saying now?
Oscar says the slap-happy attitude of most human beings toward the atomic bomb is proof that they haven't got the intelligence of a monkey.
What nonsense!
What nonsense?
Yes. What nonsense?
The Columbia Workshop, radio's foremost laboratory of writing and production techniques, has presented a freehand adaptation by Joseph Ruskell of the famous book by Bergen Evans entitled The Natural History of Nonsense. Today's musical score was by Ben Ludlow, and the workshop director was Albert Ward. Appearing in the cast were John Griggs as the narrator, King Calder, Will Keane, Mort Stevens, Ethel Wilson, Geordie McLean, Anne Marie Geyer, Bob Dryden, Helen Clare, Carol Goodner, and Brad Barker. A special bulletin to followers of the Columbia Workshop. For the past year, the workshop has operated on a rotating basis, a different author and a different director being represented each week. But starting next week, over most of these same CBS-affiliated stations from coast to coast, the Columbia Workshop will present a special cycle of musical novelties under the general title, Once Upon a Tune. Well, these are written by Ray Darby, with music by Morris Certain, and will be directed for the workshop by Carl Beyer. We think you'll find it very amusing. Follow this unusual novelty on the workshop in the weeks to come. Stay tuned in now for Larry Lesueur and the latest news, who will come to you over many of these same CBS-affiliated stations in just a few moments. Don Baker speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.